friends in Christ, for a long time, for many centuries, the third Sunday of Advent, right in the very middle of Advent, has been designated as a particularly joyful Sunday. That's the reason for the lighter coloured vestments and the rose-coloured candle we light today, like anticipating the dark colour of sin as violet and white as the colour of triumph and innocence we'll have at Christmas, and this is like on the way to Christmas, a lighter colour. And so we're encouraged to look forward now with great joy and hope to our celebration of the coming of the Saviour. The scripture readings this morning speak to us about the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the coming Saviour, and their fulfillment in our Lord. The first reading we heard from Isaiah was a prophecy of the wonderful restoration of the earth that would come, be brought by the Messiah. And among the signs of his coming, healings, the sick being restored to health, the blind being able to see, the deaf being able to hear, and so on. And in the second reading from St. James, we're reminded that to prepare, as John the Baptist calls us to prepare, to celebrate that coming, we need above all to anticipate that reconciliation of the final restoration of the earth as best we can by our own acts of love, patience, reconciliation. St. James says, don't complain about each other. Advent, a special time of forbearance, of forgiveness, of putting up with things that maybe we don't like. Remember, it is a penitential season, and the best kind of penance is repentance from our own sins and faults. Make a good confession if we haven't yet had a chance to do so before Christmas. But we come to the gospel, and the Lord speaks about John and how he identifies with the poor. One of the signs of the coming of the Messiah is that Jesus says here, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Something very important for us to remember in Advent. When we come to our big Christmas celebrations, let's remember to give something also for the poor in St. Louis. The food bank, there's lots of different ways, ministries that are collecting money to give the poor people around us a happy and joyful Christmas. So let's remember them. The Lord also speaks of other signs of his coming that are miracles. John the Baptist is in prison at this time, remember? So he's been hearing reports about what Jesus is doing, but he doesn't really know too much about it. He's behind bars and he's soon going to lose his head, as we know. So he sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the prophet? Are you the one that we're waiting for, the Messiah? And our Lord doesn't answer him directly with a straight yes or no. What he does instead is say, look around you and see what's happening. The blind are seeing again, the deaf are hearing, lepers are cleansed, even the dead being raised. In other words, the authenticity of Jesus and his mission is confirmed by God by miracles, by prodigious events, wonderful things that human power simply can't do. In recent times, in fact, a couple of centuries now in Western, the countries that used to be called Christendom, the traditionally Christian countries, there has, of course, been a great process of secularization, of religious skepticism, of decline, falling away from the faith. And so there are many who say, well, miracles are impossible. And unfortunately, even within the Christian church, the Catholic Church and other denominations, even more so in a lot of cases, the idea of miracles and the whole idea of the supernatural is just kind of dismissed. That's just fairy stories. Modern scientific man can't believe in these supernatural miracles. We hear that so often. But in fact, if we look honestly at the historical record, beginning from the Gospel, there were so many publicly carried out miracles and signs, first by our Lord. And if we look at the history of the Catholic Church, we can see literally thousands of examples over 2,000 years in which God has worked miracles of healing and other kinds of miracles through his saints. I think most of you probably know that every time a saint, a holy person, is declared first blessed and then a saint by the Church, there has to be at least two miracles carefully verified by qualified scientists. Often they're not Catholics and they're people who aren't going to be biased. They had to examine all the evidence and say, it's inexplicable how this happened. And then the Church can declare, well, this is a miracle, this is a sign from God that this particular person really is holy, that he or she is a saint in heaven. That's been going on for 2,000 years. There are so many of these things. If we have open minds, we can see that God does not ask us for a simply like a blind faith that has nothing really to back it up. In fact, Vatican Council I, 140 years ago, issued a solemn decree saying, if anyone says that miracles are impossible, or that the Catholic faith, the Christian faith, is not duly verified by miracles, let him be anathema. That means excommunicated. It's heresy. It's against our faith to say that miracles are impossible, or that they're, if maybe they happen, they're not important anyway. No, they're important because they testify that God is making known something to us. In this case, that's what Jesus says to the disciples of John the Baptist. Are you the Messiah, the prophet that we're waiting for? He says, tell John what you see. And it's evident around him that the blind are having their eyes opened, the deaf hearing, the lepers cleansed. So let's give thanks to God on this joyful Gaudete Sunday as we prepare for Christmas for his presence among us, giving us clear signs to confirm our faith in so many ways. I think we all easily have moments of doubt and is God really there and things are going wrong for me, right? The Lord gives us these signs to strengthen our faith, to assure us, yes, he is with us. Yes, he has authenticated Jesus as his son. Of course, the great miracle we celebrate at Easter, his resurrection. But the little miracle, really a huge miracle, but very quiet, very invisible, of his coming to earth quietly in that night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, that's also a tremendous sign from God of his love with us, of his desire to be with us. So let's give thanks for all of these gifts of God as we prepare in these last 2 weeks before Christmas to celebrate his birth. And finally, let's remember to join our hearts to Mary's Immaculate Heart. We celebrated her great feast day just a couple of days ago, her Immaculate Conception. And let's try to walk with Mary in spirit. After all, she was the one who was waiting and expecting with greater joy than anybody, knowing she was going to give birth to the Son of God. Try to imagine, what would it have been like? You haven't seen him yet. What is the baby Son of God going to look like? What wonderful expectation, joy, as Mary waits for the birth of her Son. Let us wait with her in joy, so that we celebrate also with Mary in joy the Saviour's birth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.